We're in this series, The Gift of the Spirit, and we want to experience the life, love, and power of God together. And today, our focus is on the Spirit being the Spirit of truth. He's the Spirit of truth. I want you to listen to Jesus in John 16. He says this to his followers. He says, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he'll guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he'll tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you." And we pray, "Come, Holy Spirit. Come and shine a light, the light of the truth of Jesus into our hearts today. God, we want to love you and know you and grow in intimacy with you. We want to be fully surrendered to you, and we pray that you would pour out your Spirit here. And God, if there's any way in which we are not walking faithful to you, if there's any way in which you need to move into our life and with your great love, speak your truth, would you do that in this moment? Lord God, I pray that you would heal our province, Lord. We lift up the many who have lost homes, the many who have lost their farms. We lift up the families of the four people who passed away. God, we just pray your comfort for them, your empowering presence would be real in their life. I don't know if any of these families have a Christian community around them, but Lord, that they would be surrounded by people who love them, care for them, pray for them, Lord Jesus. And we are asking that you would heal our land. God, come heal our land. And Lord, even when rains are supposed to come this week, we pray for protection over us, God. Please, we pray for no more of this devastation to hit our province. And may we be filled with a generous love as a people, as your followers, as we actively are part of the rebuilding. We thank you, Lord. We love you, and come and move among us here. Amen. All right, North Langley. Jesus is the truth. Sounds simple, but just pause for a second. Jesus is the truth. To Thomas, his disciple, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Notice he says, "I am the truth." You see, most religious leaders say something like this: "Do you want to know the truth? Here's a dogma for you to understand. Here's the truth." So they point away from themselves to a true teaching. Now, while Jesus did some of that, right, he taught us the Sermon on the Mount, notice what he says. He says, "I am the truth. I'm the truth." Jesus says, "Look at me. I'm the truth." Remember that moment before Pilate sends him to be crucified, he stands before Pilate. Jesus stands before Pilate, and Pilate looks at him, stares at Jesus, and says, "What is truth? What is truth?" And the answer was standing before Pilate's own eyes. Jesus, his life, his teachings, his authority, his love is the truth. Like, he is the embodiment of truth. Pilate had no idea that he was actually staring at truth itself. And Jesus tells us that the role of the Holy Spirit is to point all of us here today to the truth, who is Jesus. Verse 13, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he'll guide you into all the truth. The Holy Spirit is delighted to point people to Jesus. When you pray, "Come, fill me, Holy Spirit," as we've been praying, we grow in intimacy with God, and he pours his Spirit into our life. That what that means is that we will be pointed to Jesus. Is that we will be pointed to the truth. The Holy Spirit is delighted to do that. The Spirit is delighted to make much of Jesus. Billy Graham says it this way, quote, "The Holy Spirit illuminates the minds of people, makes us yearn for God, and takes spiritual truth and makes it understandable to us." Again, when I pray, "Come fill me, Holy Spirit," I'm asking to be filled with truth. If I'm harboring any darkness, I'm actually asking for the light to come and shine a bright light into the core of who I am. And when that happens, Then God begins to gift us some gifts. And two of the gifts I want to highlight this week are the gift of teaching and the gift of evangelism. Notice, teaching and evangelism are two ways in which we share the truth. As the Holy Spirit fills us, we get the opportunity to open our mouth and to share the truth. These two gifts are all about truth, precious moments where we get to share it. Romans 10:15 says this, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." How beautiful are the feet? Feet often are not called beautiful. So what's going on? So in the Roman Empire, there would be runners. Runners who would go, you know, without modern technology, you would have to get the word out if there was good news in the empire. And so in the Roman Empire, when, let's say, a new emperor was born, a baby was born, runners would run from all directions across the Roman Empire announcing the good news. And in Greek, it's the word euangelion, which is where we get the word evangelism. So runners would head out all over the Roman Empire. They would run into a particular village and they would say, "Good news. A new emperor has been born," right? And the town, you know, would either be filled with dread, whether that was good news to them or not, or it would truly be good news. Good news, a new emperor has been born. Or let's say the Roman Empire had won a battle somewhere, you know, maybe off in Northern Europe or something like that, and the Roman forces had won an epic battle. Well, runners would be spread all over the empire running, and either they would have a scroll in their hand or they would be running just with the message from their mouth, and they would run, and they would announce the euangelion, the good news, that a battle has been won, you know, in northern France or whatever. And the town would be excited about that news. So, you know, how beautiful are the feet, right, of the runners, the ones who are running with the good news, running to tell and share that good news. And when you think about the story of Jesus, how appropriate that the biblical writers have used this language of euangelion and runners running with the gospel, the good news, right? Because one morning, 2,000 years ago, a little baby was born, and he would become the new emperor of a new kingdom, the kingdom of God. And so the angelic hosts themselves proclaiming the euangelion, the good news that an emperor has been born, King of kings, Lord of lords, this little child in a manger. Run. How beautiful are the feet of those who share this good news that a king has come. Or what about that victory on Calvary when Jesus, when he was crucified, defeated the powers of darkness and evil, and a victory was won. An absolute victory was won. And so runners, run. Run and share the good news. Run, filled with the Spirit, and share the euangelion, the good news that a battle has been won, that there is a victory. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. One of my first experiences where I received the good news in a powerful way was when I was 24 and I was starting a master's program at a seminary. And I was signing, it was at Regent College in Vancouver, and I didn't really know what classes I was going to take. And I was just like, oh, looks like there's an easy credit. There's this class called Preaching and Worship. And I had been in a worship band for like 8 years. And I was like, easy credit, worship, good. This is going to be good. And I went to the class and it had nothing to do with worship. It had everything to do with preaching, which I felt like was a little bit of like some kind of kung fu move and took me off guard. And so I'm sitting there. I'm like, okay, clearly this is going to be all about preaching. And I had a professor, and his name was Daryl Johnson. I didn't know him at all, didn't know anything about him. And what he would do is every other class, he would preach a sermon to us as students. And he would have us critique him, which was really intimidating, to critique your own professor and to talk about what would help or what would, you know. But he would offer these sermons, and I couldn't help but cry when he would preach. I would just weep because somehow this professor seemed to love Jesus so much. He seemed to know the scriptures like through and through. It was like he had spent decades immersed in the word. And then when he would teach, there was nothing like flashy about it. It was simply like you were spending time in the presence of Jesus. And that when he taught, he was like an arrow pointing away from himself to Jesus. Like, see Jesus. Look at Jesus. See how amazing he is. And I sat under that teaching for a year, and I was completely changed by it. And I remembered that God's Spirit, as I look back at that time, had given me this little gift, going, Matthew, is this something that you'd like to do too in your life? Would you like to teach? And I had never, up to the time I was 24, I'd never thought about teaching or preaching at all. But God used this class, this one class, for me to have like a moment where I was like, Lord, I would love that gift. Would you give me that gift? Because there's something authentic about it. You know that, you know those moments when you first, for those of you who love music, like you first hear a song from a particular band, and it's like they become your favorite band ever, but you remember the moment you first heard it, and you're like, what is that? Like, my life is forever changed because I just heard that song. Anyone? Anyone feel like that? Yeah? Do you remember, in year 2000, I heard the song Yellow. I didn't know anything about Coldplay, and I heard it. And this is when Coldplay was still cool. It was cool to be a Coldplay fan, like the first two albums. But anyway, so like I remember hearing Yellow, and I'm like, I'm forever changed. Like there's a before and there's an after when it comes to my life. And that's how it felt being in this class. Like there's a before and there's an after. And Lord, I want to love you. Come fill me. And could I have that gift as well to teach? It's also happened when it comes to evangelism. Evangelism, just sharing the good news. I've married someone who, Tanya, just loves evangelism. And that's really rubbed off on me. She loves sharing the good news with people. People who don't know Jesus, she loves it. And so for years, I was part of a ministry called Drime, where we would go downtown. We'd share our faith every Friday night on the near the art gallery downtown with shoppers on Robson Street. And for 4 years, I got to share my faith alongside Tanya on this team. And then in the last number of years, last 9 years, Tanya and I have gotten to do the Alpha course together. And it's so much fun to be able to interact with actually some of you who are here today, some of you who are brand new to Jesus and you're interested in Jesus. And we get to share our faith in Jesus in those contexts. And there is nothing like it. And I feel, here's the deal, I feel so close to the Spirit. I feel so close to him when I get to teach or share my faith. Like it's just this beautiful intimacy. And what I would love today is some kind of passion in you that the Holy Spirit would move in this room and that you would just have this desire to open your mouth and share the good news with a friend of yours or a colleague or a family member, that some of you would sense the Spirit moving even right now for you to lead a life group and to start to teach or to lead start a new Bible study where you are able to use the gift of teaching. And maybe that's been dormant for a number of years, but you feel led by the Spirit to do this because you have a passion for truth. I want you to know that all of that is anchored in the gift of the Spirit himself, right? That's because the Holy Spirit loves you and he's pouring his truth into your life. The Holy Spirit is delighted to point people to Jesus. Writing to the church at Corinth, Paul says this, he got rid of everything except the pure message of Jesus. This verse that I'm gonna share with you is really important to me. It's a huge verse in my life. He says this, he says, when I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom, as I proclaim to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Can you like highlight that, circle that in your Bible? Like, my message and my preaching, they weren't with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. What's Paul getting at? He's saying, listen, human wisdom and technique and pride, it's not part of preaching the gospel. It's Jesus. It's Jesus Christ and him crucified, which is the core of teaching and truth. Preaching technique, not part of this. How many people are following the preacher? Not part of this. The swagger that preachers have, or the yelling, or the trendiness, or the relentless quest for relevance, whatever it is, none of that matters. For Paul, it was Jesus Christ and him crucified, that would be the heart of all of his messages and his teachings. He wanted to preach nothing but Jesus. And that was the heart of truth for him. And notice the role of the Holy Spirit. In a series on the Spirit, notice this. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. See, so Paul could say, if you've ever been changed by any of my preaching, it's because it was the Holy Spirit. It wasn't me. Paul's saying, I just kept pointing people to Jesus and to the cross. And if you have been changed, it's because the Holy Spirit was moving in the room. When Paul preached Jesus, the Spirit was there in power. I don't want my faith based on a favorite preacher, teacher, communicator, Bible study leader, whatever it is. I want my faith to rest upon Jesus Christ and him crucified, on the power of the Spirit. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. See, those who bring good news, they come in weakness. Notice Paul's words there, right? He says, I came to you in weakness, in fear and trembling. But in that weakness and in that fear, I opened my mouth to share the truth humbly, and the Spirit was there. The Spirit was at work. The Spirit delights to watch his people open their mouth. And when they begin to open their mouth, they take the step of faith. They take the risk in the lives of the people they love, or in the willingness to lead a group and to begin to teach, or whatever it is. In that risky moment, as they open up their mouth, the Spirit is there, and he'll give us the right words because he's so delighted to make much of Jesus. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. St. Francis is said to have said, quote, preach the gospel at all times, when necessary, use words. So some of you who are my friends, you'll know that I don't like that quote very much. And I agree, I get it, right? Preach the gospel, if necessary, use words. I understand. Because the quote is supposed to suggest that we mostly speak the truth with our actions. Do I believe that? I do believe that, 100%. Our actions, you know, speak louder than words. But I don't love the quote for a couple reasons. So here they are. First of all, St. Francis never said these words. There we go. So that's one reason not to like it. No biography of his life in the 200 years after St. Francis lived contains this phrase. It's just not there. Secondly, St. Francis loved to preach. He loved preaching. He preached the gospel at all times, used many words. He didn't just pet cute furry little bunnies while walking around with birds on his shoulders. Listen to Mark Galli. He says this about St. Francis. He says, quote, he began preaching early in his ministry. He usually preached on Sundays, sometimes preaching in up to 5 villages a day, often outdoors. In the country, Francis often spoke from a bale of straw or a granary doorway. In town, he would climb on a box or up steps in a public building. He preached to serfs and their families, as well as to the landlords, to merchants, women, clerks, and priests. La-da-dee-la-da-da. Francis knew he was called to speak, to actually use words. Francis knew that Jesus had called him to speak by the power of the Spirit. He actually had to open his mouth. And listen to the Apostle Paul. Paul gets this, right? He says this, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe, here it is, in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone, I'm inserting words here, opening their mouth and preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they're sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. See, Paul is saying that there is a moment for every one of us when we say, come, fill me, Holy Spirit, that he begins to move, and he's so delighted for us to open our mouth so that the good news is shared with words. Now, I would hope that all of us are living the kind of lives where our words would match our life, right? Obviously, none of us are perfect, but that we're growing in that way, so that when you do share it with your loved one, that they're like, oh, those words make sense because I see your life, right? That it matches. But that there is an opportunity to speak the beautiful truth of Jesus with words. Humbly, gently, lovingly. My fear about this message today, I had a bit of a fear, was that these days everyone's speaking the truth. You know what I'm saying? Right? Everyone's speaking the truth. Everyone's an expert about everything. I feel like I'm an expert on the pandemic. Not sure why people aren't asking me my opinion. Because we all think we've done a lot of research. We've all read the articles, and we all know the real truth about pretty much everything, from politics to the pandemic to faith to whatever it is. And we can share it in a way that's confrontational, right? Well, I'm just speaking the truth, and it's not helpful. And I'm hoping that today's message is not going to fan the flame of any of that kind of thing. Because here's the deal. The best teachers don't add to the polarization of the age. The best teachers are humble learners. They're humble learners. And that's convicting to me all the time. Am I a humble learner? Are we humbly learning from the Spirit? I really want to grow to be a better learner. I got to tell you this great story from a good friend of mine. Well, it's about me, but it was with me and a good friend of mine. There was a moment a number of years ago, and some of you may have been in the room, when I chose to throw our prime minister under the bus with some of my words that from stage. And it was not a great moment. I actually felt weird when I did it. There was this thing about internships and the government giving money and blah, 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 blah. And so I used that as an opportunity to let a little comment fly. And actually, when I was up here doing it, it did feel weird when I said it, because I'm like, God, I don't normally do that. But I feel like there's an injustice from Ottawa here, and I needed to say it. Well, a good friend of mine, there's a couple that attend our church that for many decades served Jesus in Europe and did a lot of ministry in the eastern part of Europe behind the Iron Curtain and saw God do some amazing things. But you can imagine their ministry, right? They were ministering in communist countries where the KGB was in charge, policing different countries. And so when he called me that next week and he said, I want to meet you. And I was like, okay, great. And so I didn't know what he wanted to meet about, but we came, we met here in the foyer. And I love this couple. I love this man very much. And he sat down and he said, I want to sit right in front of you. And he pulled his chair right in front of me. And he looked, said, look at me in the eyes. And I said, okay. And he said, you know I love you. And I said, yeah. And he said, don't ever do that again. He said, don't ever do that again. Don't throw the prime minister under the bus again. And here's why. He said, for years in Eastern Europe, he said, my wife and I, we made a commitment not to speak kind of words that go against the government, against any leader. What we were going to do is we were going to serve Jesus and we were going to preach Jesus. And that was going to be the core of what we did. And he said, Matthew, for decades, for years, we saw God work in powerful ways. God transformed people's lives. And we weren't speaking against these communist regimes. We were preaching Jesus. We were preaching the good news of what Christ has done. And he said, and the crazy thing is that members of the KGB loved what we were doing in their villages. And they welcomed us back. And he's got this crazy story. It's the coolest story of like the KGB stopping a train and coming on board and looking for him. And he's like, oh no, what's going on? He's led to the KGB offices. They give him a sword. And they're like, we thank you for your service in our village. You're welcome back anytime. But can you imagine? Like, I would think I'd be in massive trouble at that moment. But like this gift and what was happening? It was that when we preached Jesus Christ and him crucified, right? And when he said that to me, he says, Matthew, don't do that again. He did it out of love. He taught me. And from that moment on, this was the lesson I took from that beautiful moment from my friend. Matthew, good news. You don't have to be a bitter, angry preacher. Matthew, good news. You don't have to preach with an us versus them antagonism. Matthew, good news. You don't have to throw political leaders under the bus. Good news. You already have a king. His name is Jesus. Won't you make much of him? Right? I'm so grateful for that truth that was shared with me. And that's the posture of John the Baptist. Right? Picture John the Baptist. What is John the Baptist always doing? He's pointing away from himself and he's pointing to Jesus. Right? He's always saying, look, he must become greater. I must become less. Right? When the Holy Spirit fills my life and I grow in intimacy with the Spirit, he wants to make much of Jesus and therefore I want to make much of Jesus. And so I'll have the posture of John the Baptist, which points away from myself and says, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Like, draw your gaze towards the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Holy Spirit, fill us, and may our lives make much of Jesus, humbly, gently, lovingly. And teachers, all of you will know, evangelists, those of you will know that it challenges us, right? Whenever we try to cheat, teach, it cheat. Whenever we try to teach, it challenges us. We have to go back on things that we've learned and assumed. It makes us go back for a second, third, fourth look at things that we've taken for granted. It always challenges us first. I need to be taught. I first need to be broken. And in sharing the good news, I need the good news to hit my heart first. And then he's delighted for us to open our mouth. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he'll guide you into all the truth. You know, if you go right back to the beginning of Scripture, Adam and Eve in the third chapter of the Bible are deceived by the lies of the serpent. The serpent's in the business of deceit. Truth versus lies. God told Adam and Eve that they could eat from any tree in the garden, just not one. But what does the serpent do? You guys know the story, right? The serpent says, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Notice how he's spinning the truth, right? God asked the humans not to eat from one tree. It's turned into not eating from any tree. And so internally, Eve begins to wonder, maybe God is holding something good from me. Have you ever wondered that? Maybe God's withholding something from me. And then the serpent lies. You'll not certainly die, he says. When you eat the fruit, your eyes will be opened. Eating the fruit will lead to enlightenment. The serpent implants the idea that God is going to keep you and I from fun, from truth, from love, from enlightenment. It's the heart of deceit. And Jesus describes how the serpent or the devil works. He says this in John 8, quote, when he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And this is what is going on in the spiritual realm, in our life with Christ. There are lies that come from the father of lies, or there's the truth that comes from the Spirit of truth, right? And who is forming you? How right now is your brain being formed by the things you take in life? What truth is forming your mind and your heart and your affections? You're always being shaped. You're always being formed. As Leslie Newbegin, the late British missionary theologian, says it, he says, if the biblical story does not control our thinking, then we'll be swept into the story that the world tells about itself. See, the Spirit is delighted to shift our mind, to form our minds, to transform our minds. And we want to be apprenticed to Jesus. I don't want to be swept into the story that the world's telling about itself. I want to be swept into the story that Jesus is telling. And that is the beautiful gift of the Spirit. He'll do that. He'll make much of Jesus. Now, even this morning, I know that some of us have come and we have felt the deception. We've sensed the lies of the enemy. We've come to believe lies like, we are not loved by God. We are abandoned by God. God is not there. God is extremely disappointed in me. God could care less about how I'm feeling. We are too sinful ever to be loved. And on it goes. And many of us have been profoundly shaped by that kind of lie. But right now, as the Spirit is moving in the room, would you listen to truth and let the Holy Spirit speak words of life into your heart? And I'm going to ask for some crowd participation here. I want all of us to say the truth of these scriptures out loud with me. So I'll give the verse, right? I'll give the address, and you say out the truth. Are you ready? John 1:12. I am God's child. John 15:15. Romans 5:1. 1 Corinthians 6:17. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Ephesians 1:1. Wait, pause. Did you know that? Did you know that you're a saint? Say it again. Ephesians 1:1. Ephesians 1:5. Colossians 1:14. You got to do that one again. Colossians 1:14. And forgiven all of my sins. Colossians 2:10. Romans 8:1-2. Romans 8:31. Romans 8:35. Pause, but you might think that you can be this morning. So you need to say that one again. Romans 8:35. 2 Corinthians 1, 21 to 22. Colossians 3, 3. Philippians 3, 20. 1 John 5, 18. He cannot touch you. Matthew 5, 13 to 14. John 15, 1 to 5. 1 Corinthians 3, 16. Ephesians 2, 6. Ephesians 2, 10. You're going to do that two more times. Ephesians 2, 10. Ephesians 2, 10. You know what that means? That means you are his piece of art. You are his artwork. You matter. You were made in his image. Okay, keep going. Ephesians 3, 12. And so we pray, Holy Spirit, speak the truth. Speak that truth into my broken heart. Speak that truth into the life of our hurting children. Speak that truth into our broken marriage. Speak that truth into our addiction and into our cynicism and into our bitterness and into our loneliness, Lord, and into our fears and into our anxieties and into our atheism. Holy Spirit, would you come and right now in this room speak all of that truth, the truth that comes from your word. And Holy Spirit, in this moment, as you come and fill us, would you make much of Jesus? And would your truth extinguish the lies of the enemy in the deep places of our heart? Would you come and do powerful ministry here in this room as we sing? North Langley, could we stand together? We're going to worship. And my encouragement to you is to come forward. Our prayer team, you guys can come forward right now. We're going to have an opportunity for prayer ministry. Also, our prayer room is in the back. Feel free to go there. But come forward for you or for someone that you love. I mean, if there's someone that you love that's on your heart that you want to pray that truth on their behalf, and that you would have an opportunity to be someone who brings that good news into their life, would you come forward for prayer? So let's pray. Holy Spirit, we open up our hearts today to you, to your powerful and freeing work. Holy Spirit, would you come and heal the lies that we've been believing? Holy One of God, would you hover over our life and would you begin to make all things new? Holy Spirit, with the dark places, those dark places in our soul and in our hearts, would you shine a light? Just shine the beautiful, loving light of the good news into those places. Lord, some of us in the room, we're open. We're open to your gifts. And anyone who's here in the room who's open to the gift of being able to share the truth, would you just ask for him to come and to give you opportunities to teach and to share the good news? Holy Spirit, come and move. We want to grow in our love for you. Fill us with the great love of the Father in this place. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, and use me. Amen.